The Bible said the apostle, Jesus Christ, who is the apostle, as to the high calling, as to the author and finisher of our faith. We welcome you to come and be a part of Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, a place instigated for world evangelism, and also we invite you to be part of the God family. Like this song Brother Al used to sing, the family of God. The Bible said we're children of God. Then if we be children, then are we heirs? We're members of his body in particular, and heirs, and also joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That means that we have all things that pertain unto life, because the Bible said he's given us all things that pertain unto life. And this, of course, is the thrill of our heart and soul to know that we have all things that pertain unto life. Have you ever stopped to consider what it means to have all things that pertain unto life? You don't have some things that pertain unto life. You might have a car. You might have a home, but you might not have health. You might not even have the money to pay on the car and the home. You might have a wife for a prostitute. You might have a husband for a whoremonger. But when you have all things that pertain unto life, you have health, you have happiness, you have joy, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You have eternal life. You have a vision. You have the power of God in your life. You may have the gifts in your life. You can have them in your life. Then, of course, as I say, that home and audible bills and friends and neighbors and everything. You just have everything. Is there anything at all that you don't have? The Bible said, have God having given you the very best that pertains unto life, as to say his own son. Is there anything that he would keep back from you after he hath given you his son? Is there anything better than his son, Jesus Christ? Would he not, as Paul said, having given you his son, having died for you while you were yet in your sins, would he not with him freely give you all things? Is there anything greater than God himself as to a human personification? And that is to give his own blood. Jesus said, be not of a doubtful mind. That means that we should not be of a doubtful mind. We should be grateful to God because he has given us all things that pertain unto life. And we should by all means rejoice in this, in that the Bible said that we do not enjoy these things because we serve not the Lord our God with joyfulness of heart. Once the Bible uses the terms that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and you know it's when you please God, when you do the things that are like Jesus, when you go about trying to help others and you convince your heart and your conscience in God, it is then at this time that you have the joy of the Lord. Because when you feel like everything is all right between you and God, then you have the joy of the Lord. But if you don't feel like everything is right, then you're under a heavy condemnation. It kills your faith. You have no joy. So then your strength is, as to your faith, the joy of knowing that God is on your side. That's why the Bible uses the term strengthen the things that remain, lest I move your candlestick. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. I was talking to my Daniel just the other night about this. See, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And he gave glory to God. And he took the promise of God, and then he gave glory to God. And this is what we need to do, is strengthen our faith. Fasting, praying, studying, coming to church, giving to the poor, helping somebody, having the gifts of the Spirit in our life, having joy, peace as to the fruits of the Spirit in our life. All these things, it strengthens our faith. We have faith. God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith, and yet all men have not faith. That is to say, they have a measure of faith as to the natural believing of mankind, but they don't have faith as to the faith of Jesus Christ, which is faith unto salvation, that faith that we're commanded to contend for, that the Bible speaks of, where it says, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the faith by which you're sanctified. So then, in these few little things that we are bringing to your remembrance, we need strength. Strength for our faith, and with this it brings us the abundance of living of all things that pertain unto life, because they're freely given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to have joy, and the joy, our strength, the joy of the Lord is given to us when we do his pleasure. For it is then that we feel close to him, to draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. It is then that we have confidence of heart, hereby we assure our heart. Then we have confidence in God that we do the things that please him. And then we have confidence in God that whatever we ask of him, we receive of him, because we do the things that please him. And our heart doesn't condemn us, and so then we have all things because of faith. So then the strength of our faith, that's what we need. When he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey thee, and nothing shall be impossible unto thee. So then, faith, the question arises, what does he mean? If every man has faith, or every man, he means the faith of Jesus Christ. If you could get a hold of just enough of that faith as the grain of a mustard seed, it would move a mountain. That's God faith. That's anointed faith, like the little tract that we put out. When your faith becomes anointed by the Spirit, it turns into God faith. When your spirit becomes anointed by the Spirit, it turns into God's Spirit, Christ's Spirit. When your understanding is anointed by Christ's understanding, it turns into the mind of Christ Jesus, God understanding. The veil is moved and the light shines. And when your body is touched by God and the Spirit takes your body, it changes into the God body, as to the transfiguration of Jesus that was on the mountain there that appeared in glory. Wherever that glory comes, when that glory touches the earth, this earth will change into the millennium, and all of the briars will be gone. All of the sorrows and heartaches of mankind will completely dissipate, because that will be the God moment. That will be the God hour. That will be as to the vision when we saw everything change into the millennium after everything had been burned to ashes. All right. So then we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, that we might receive the promise. But we do not expect the promise unless we do the will. First the will and then the promise. Having a will, then a performance. I want to read to you just a little bit. It says here in the book of Hebrews, and it looks like it's running right in harmony with what we want to say, as the Spirit and the Word run together. It's always the same thing. It says here, 36th verse of the 10th chapter it is of Hebrews. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Let's read that chapter, see what the Lord is saying to us. Chapter 10, the book of Hebrews. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. Glad to have Vicki and Adam here, and also Daniel. I know he's probably here somewhere. I don't know just where he's at, but he said he'd be here this morning. All right, can we read that again? I'd like for that to take a lodging place in your mind. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. Well, that is to say, Paul, the revelator, having come into the revelation looking beyond the veil, he reminds us that all of the offerings of the Old Testament could never make the comer thereunto perfect, because it was the blood of bulls and goats. Now, he tells us here that that was not the very image. Jesus was the very image, made in the image of sin. Those things were not the very image. And he said, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. That is, God didn't accept them. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had his pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemy be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof, of the Holy Ghost, also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for his faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now notice here in the 20th verse, he says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Or that is to say, it was the human body standing between the great Holy Spirit and your angelic being on the inside as to the body of this death and sin. And so God penetrated that by destroying the body of sin, or doing away with the body, having made a body in which God was, then God was separated from the people by the bodily veil of Jesus. But when he rent the veil in two, God stepped out in the midst of his people again, even as it was in the days of Adam and Eve, when he walked in the garden in the cool of the evening in their presence. And today he is in your midst today. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, then he is in the midst of you. So he is here this morning to speak to you. He is here to be with you, to do what you ask him to do, to heal your diseases, to forgive your iniquities. Because the veil in between man and God as to the human body has been taken away. And now you're no more alienated from the things of God, but you are now fellow heirs and citizens of that great city and country. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, the manner as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now listen real careful to this, friend. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Remember now, this is based on the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't just say if we sin willfully. It says if we sin willfully after that we have come to the knowledge of the truth or received the knowledge of the truth, that is, come to know it, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and with hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. If you don't understand what we're saying here, it is that when Cain offered his sacrifice, he did not have faith. Because he had condemnation in his heart, in that the hatred and desire to murder his brother had overtaken him. So he was under condemnation, and God would not accept his offering because it was not faith. For God is a spirit, and God accepts your spirit by faith. He said, but concerning Abel, it was different. See, Abel, though he was dead, yet his spirit still spoke to God, because though his body was dead, his spirit had been released as to go into paradise, and it still was before God. Like the man there at Calvary, before Jesus ever died for the remission of sin, he cried out to be with him, and Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. So here it shows that by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Though you're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, you're still speaking. And yet it's not you speaking but Christ. You're still living, and yet it's not you living but Christ. For it says, in the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. So then that means that because Abel had no condemnation of heart, he had nothing in his heart toward his fellow man, then he had faith. And God, who justifies by faith, even many years before the coming of the law, as to say the heavens declaring his handiwork, God justified him by faith. And Enoch also, it says, was translated by faith that he should not see death. Long before the law ever came, he was translated by faith, being typical of the church. And here we are walking by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. All right, so we're going to have to believe if we are to be blessed of God. And we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For the Bible said, he that promised to come will come. He won't tarry. After a while, he'll come. And we're getting closer and closer to that time of coming. So then we see that the Old Testament here was something that God had in your behalf. As to be, the Bible uses it as an ensample, or we say an example, unto them that afterward should come. That all of these things that happen, happen for an example. And that is for thus those that would live ungodly or live holy afterwards, as seeing God, who made himself a natural man as to a reflection in that day, that man called Moses, and who made himself a natural church as to that day, which was the Jewish people, a reflection of God, and to make himself a natural law, which would be a reflection of the spiritual discipline of God, or the attributes and characteristics of God. See, and God set every bit of this up in the natural, knowing that we were subjected to the natural by the fall. He set everything up in the natural, that we who had taken on the natural mind of Adam and Eve through the fall, that by this we might be able to see with our natural eyes natural things and hear with our natural ears natural things. And that on the mount that burned with fire, that we might see a natural mountain with a natural blaze, and people throughout the world might hear the thundering as it roared, that they might know, naturally speaking, of the great glory and the great power of God and the might of God as he thundered throughout the earth. God wanted to give a natural thing concerning his natural judgment down in Egypt, so they naturally could see a natural man come down there and demonstrate in a natural way that great mighty things might happen to turn Egypt into a rubbish pile. That it might be substantiated in the earth that God is no myth. That you don't have to believe God into existence. That God is the great God that has made all things, and that all things emanated from God, and that the things which do appear as to natural things was not made of things that do appear as to natural things, but rather made of spiritual invisible powers and forces that's beyond this natural world, and all of these natural carnal things emanated out from the spiritual world. And we, you, I, we have access to all of these natural things, even to our natural body. So all carnal things are given to us because we are on the carnal side of life as to our first birth. All of these things are given to us, even as it was with Adam in the garden. All those carnal things was given. Adam was literally made out of the dust as to a body of the natural. He actually had those trees around him. He actually had the garden. There was the dust. There was the cattle. And there was Eden, the land of Eden. And in the east part of that land, there was a garden that was called the Garden of Eden. And in this, Adam and Eve had their home. And it was in this that they could live and dwell, even a natural habitation. Even a natural habitation. But the one thing that they had was a spiritual understanding as to the illumination of God. And this caused the great, wonderful illumination of God as to the Spirit to come down over their body. And it reflected God back to them. And when God would look at them, they were pure, they were holy, they were godly, and His reflection was back to Him. And all the glory of the creation of God and all these wonderful things came from God, and they came back to God as they reflected it back to God, being made in His own image. And this made everything wonderful, because through this channel or means, God could channel Himself into man, into all of creation, put man over it, use man as a channel, channel that glory through there, and everything would blossom as a rose, and man would be the supreme ruler over it as to the natural side of it, and God, the great invisible spiritual life and force and glory and jubilance, would abide or tabernacle within the man, Adam, and he would literally be the prince over all the world. But when Eve, as to the weak part, as to the flesh part, representing that which was made out of the dust, when she sinned against God, that is when she became enticed, then Adam also followed after her transgression. Though Adam was not found in the transgression. Just like the woman out of the man is not in the original creation, but in the man she is in the original creation. So then Adam was not in the original transgression, because Eve was the one that gave way to it. But it is a true fact that Adam followed the transgression of Eve, in that he did partake of her wrong. And thus he accompanied her, as I say so often, into this world to show that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, even as Adam called the Son of God, had to come into this world for the body, for what is referred to as the church. Had to come into this world and be with this body to perfect this body. So coming in a human form, within a human body, he was thus considered within the veil. Well, that is to say, in the human body of Jesus, he was made in the image of sin. Not that there was a veil between Jesus and the Heavenly Father, in the sense of the carnal mind or the intellectual reasoning, which was death. It wasn't that at all. He walked always with the Father, and he was always in the presence of the Father. And he said, the Son of Man which came down from heaven, which is in heaven. See, and there was only a moment there that was different, and that is when he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Or that is to say, this is the hour of darkness, or that is the Father had to withdraw, so that the image of sin, which was the Adam part, the Adamic part, might be cast down out of the presence of God to show the expulsion of Lucifer at Revelation 12 and the casting out. For the body had to go out of the presence of God. And the Bible said that all of the heavens became black and as dark as sackcloth of hair when the glory of God withdrew, or when the sun quit shining as the symbolic thing of the day star. So then we find that in this, that when the Lord withdrew, then Jesus went out of the presence of God, and Jesus had trapped Lucifer in that body. As to the image of sin, he had trapped Lucifer in that body. Now Lucifer was bound, and the Christ that lived in this body could take this body down into the chambers of hell, and there he could burn out the chaff, to where that when this body came up, delivered from my offenses, raised again for my justification, that when it came up from there, it would be purified even as the dross taken away from the silver, and when it come up, it would be pure. The Bible said in concerning the Lord Jesus, and in that day that he comes, he shall purge the sons of Levi as silver, so that in the fire, that they might bring forth in that day an offering that would be pleasing in the sight of God. That is, today we bring forth an offering as the royal priesthood today before Almighty God, as the sonship itself, as members of the great high priest. We bring forth this offering as being a mediator at this time, as the membership of his body, being in Christ's stead, and we are beseeching the world as the in-between or the go-between, beseeching the world that they should be reconciled unto God, because our bodies are gone in the sight of God as to sin. We are now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God accepts our spirit as that being perfected forever, sanctified by him, so that he can work through us to the world. And the Bible said we should pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the world, and that we should pray for men, that God would grant repentance unto them, that they might receive this wonderful inheritance of God. It's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Not my will that even the wicked should perish, but that they should repent of their sins. All right, so then we see that this mind that Adam had given place to, that he now was cast out of the presence of God to show the expulsion of Lucifer, thus becoming the natural, and Adam all die, as by the sins of one man, not by the sins of Eve, but as the sins of one man. Because as to the woman, even as the Old Testament teaches, it was not charged against the woman unless the man substantiated it and said, let it be. Here he did not do that. He took the place of his wife in her transgression. And he could do that because he was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish as to the image, being the Son of God. And so then he could do that. And then when Jesus came, being the second man Adam, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, the only manifested one in the world in that Adam lost his at the fall, then he could die for his wife, and he could say, I annul anything that she's done wrong. From henceforth and forever, she never did it. Or that is, that I have accepted her as my beloved in my foreknowledge, that when she came into this world, that her transgressions would not be of her life and of her spirit, and in that she hath come now to a knowledge of sin, she will not accept that because she loves me, and that's not her way of life, that's not her spirit. She hath come to the knowledge that this is a transgression against her God, against her husband, and that she is not guilty of this because she had no knowledge as to her growth, her development, her transitions of life, the stride of life that she was in. She had no knowledge of her wrong. She had no knowledge of her transgression. And now that she has come to a knowledge, she will not accept this evil thing as a transgression against me. She refuses to transgress against me. Therefore, I have seen her before the world ever was. I've sealed her with my spirit. By foreknowledge of knowing this, I predestinated her unto good works in my Son. And her weakness as to her bodily failures, I have redeemed through the sonship as to my own body. I have made my Son to be what I want her to be. And I have made one body as to be righteousness. In that sin came by one man, Adam, and that the condemnation of the world and judgment and death upon all people. Now I have brought one man, even the second man, Adam, that I might redeem, that I might restore, that I might bring to righteousness by grace of God. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And if sin abound unto death, how much more shall grace abound unto righteousness to them that are willing to believe and accept this. So that I'm not going to require any works of her at all as to redemption. I'm just going to require faith. And through faith, I'm going to save a people for my name's sake. And this God has done. Today we're completely free from all sin and death and all shame and all corruption. And today we have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, that we should never see corruption because of the works of Jesus Christ. And even to the body, though we do not enjoy the bodily part of it today unless we just believe. You know, and our believing is as to a measure, going on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, coming into the wonderful blessings of God, even all things that pertain unto life. And when we say all things, we're saying even as to the resurrection from the dead. See, so we are by faith, as Enoch, we are walking with God, but we've not come to the ultimatum as to the grand finale of our faith. Well, that is to say, we've not moved into this place to where we can be changed completely in body, but we are moving toward it. The prophets of old would take a withered hand, and this withered hand would change back into its originality, which means that they had the power of the change of the body. People would die, they would put them in the grave, and they had the power to go and raise them up from the dead, but not change them into the celestial. Even Lazarus, resurrected from the dead, was not changed into the celestial. So dying and being resurrected doesn't mean that you change to the celestial. It depends on the way it is as to the coming of the Lord. When the glory of God comes from heaven, then this great, wonderful dawning of the day stars to the bright morning of God, that eternal day, when this great glory begins to show forth over you and I, at that time, then they that are in the graves or they that are resurrected then will be changed into this wonderful glory of God. That is, it will be sown a terrestrial and raised a celestial, or it has gone down a corruptible, it has come up an incorruptible, or it has gone down as a mortal and now it has become an immortality. So then, as we're born the image of the mortal, as to corruption, as to Adam, and Adam all die, we will bear the image of the heavenly, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having put this house away, then we have another house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is, my angelic being says, I am without a house, unless you give me a house, for the body of this death is now gone. Wherefore then is my house? And the Bible said, you are translated into the Spirit by faith. Your spirit is translated into the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, inwardly. And you are now chosen out of the body, and the body is now dead, buried in the name of the Lord Jesus, remission of sin by baptism, as to say, no remission without shedding of blood. Your remission as the sanctification by the blood, but then you're partakers in the natural by the water. So then you go down into the water, you're baptized in his name, you're identified thus with him in death, showing that his blood took away your sins. And when the sin is gone, your spirit, angelic being, goeth back to God who gave it. It is no more subject to the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world, as to say, the five human senses, but your angelic being went away with God, and today it's hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the great, wonderful restoring of all things. So then, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the Thessalonian change, then you will be changed as he appears. Every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. But the thing is, though that be the manifestation of the sons of God, as the spiritual sonship on the inside, now, beloved, are we already the sons of God. As an angelic being, as a spirit, you're already a son of God. You're not a woman. In Christ is neither male nor female. You're not a man. You are a spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, a living soul. That has passed away. We can never sin the sin of the soul because we're no more the living soul. We are sealed as a soul unto life, and we are now a quickening spirit. And we're members of the body of the quickening spirit. And so then that means that he was raised in another form. And that other form was our form of goodness in the sight of God. For God now sees us in the new form, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And even at this time has accredited to us that wonderful body that we've not yet come into as to the change, that the people might visually look upon it. So then we are now, beloved, the sons of God, and God looks at our spirit at being in Christ, in the body of Christ, that is yet to come as to the change of Thessalonian chains. Well, that takes away our sins, that takes away our wrongs, has given us all things that pertain unto life. We have all things that pertain unto life, and we are from glory to glory, from faith to faith on the inside, being partakers as we release this life on the inside as your spirit, angelic spirit, interwoven with Christ, this spirit being made manifest in your mortal gene, you are now at this time partakers of that divinity of Christ. You have the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. As to whatever the nature is in the fruit, or whatever the nature is in the object or the image, so then is the life of it, and so is the attributes of it, and so is the image as to conformity. So then, being the image of your Father as to conformity, partakers of His blood and nature, now then you're partakers of the life of Jesus, and your angelic being, even your life, your spirit, have been changed by that seed of life, even the Spirit of Christ on the inside, and now your nature is making your image to be the very image of the Lord Jesus. As to the contour, as to the image, as to the object, it will be just like Him. And the Bible said that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is, for we'll be like Him. This hope purifies you. All right, that is faith in God's righteousness has purified your heart. So then I said that to say this. We are now believing as to a healing of our body. We are now believing as to a conversion as to salvation. We are now believing as to the God meeting our needs and God helping our loved ones and God giving us joy, peace, all these other things as to a serene tranquility of life. But that is just a little precipitation. That is from a measure to measure, going on to the full measure, which means going on to the ultimatum, which is the change. The same faith that you're using to heal your body with, the same faith that you're using as to seal your spirit with as a conviction of salvation, the same faith that you have that is taking away your oppressions and depressions of life as to the bondage of Satan and giving you strength to overcome the world and your enemies. This is the same faith that changes your bodily image into the ultimate change of that eternal body, of that incorruptible immortality. So then that means that you are moving on toward this, strengthening your faith, growing stronger and stronger in faith, until we come to the change of this great, wonderful ultimatum in God. And coming into that, it'll be no more a sporadic thing. You'll never be in a spastic way before God as a little something He's done for you here and a little something He's done for you there. But you will move into that perfect faith. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith, and that the fivefold ministry is set here for the perfecting of the saints. And we're trying to perfect your faith, to bring your faith even to that of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith will be adequate at the purpose that with the coming of the Lord, all of a sudden you'll be changed into this wonderful glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, then being caught up to meet the Lord, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, to comfort the brethren with these words. Now, that means that we already have the faith for the change. But the strength of that faith, the perfecting of that faith, to bring that faith into the place to where it needs to come, even as Enoch, that was translated by faith as the heavens declared the handiwork. 300 and something years it took for him to perfect that faith to the extent that he could be translated. But not so with you. It's promised in the man 70. Some live longer by reason of strength, as it is the woman we saw little article of the other day, 116 years old. I believe she was a joiner. Married a White, maybe? A person by the name of White or whatever. Anyway, that means that the body is not inferior. It means the body does not have to die. The body does not perish. 800, 700, 120, 200, 300 years, and the body was just as full of youth as ever before. There's no such thing in God as an old man. There is no such thing in God as an old woman. If so be that it is, then how old was Moses when his eyesight had not waxed dim and the natural sources of his body was not abated? How old then was Sarah and Abraham at the conception of the renewal of youth to bring forth a son? How old then was Enoch as the old man at 300 years old? Or how old was Noah as 700 and 800 years old, or Methuselah, 900 years old, or how old was these people at 600 and 700 years old as to be the old man, and how old was their wives at that great age to be the old woman? The Bible said even concerning Sarah, she's supposed to be an old woman according to your speculation. But way up in age, she was so beautiful as to say a woman that the men where Abraham went tried to steal her from Abraham and was willing to put Abraham to death to take her to wife because of her radiance. See, so there is no such thing. You need to get away from that thing as to a bodily aging or bodily death. See, death is the cause of age. Death is the cause of age. There is no other thing other than death. And sin is the cause of death. Man has continually decreased as to growing old, his age always on the diminishing side. Sickness causes it. Sickness cuts short life. Problems, oppression, the oppression of nerves. See, when all you have to do is have God on the inside to throw away the mud, keep the little stream bubbling, to always push away the anxieties of life, all the pressures of life, like Moses did at his great age. He didn't even start his ministry till he was 80 years old. And in about 40 years, had a great mighty ministry. See, that is to say, with these things like Elijah and Moses, who went away, still to come back alive into this world. Where then is death? Isn't it swallowed up in victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting in that sin is no more? And sin is the sting of death. And oh, grave, where is thy victory in that death is no more, because sin has diminished and gone? And the Messiah made an end of sin. Where is thy victory? What victory do you have as to claim any object or any image of God? So then it's helpless, it's gone. Though the Bible says the last enemy to be conquered is death, as to with the redemption, that is to say, not as to you and I, because we've already passed from death unto life, but as to be made manifest, and that after the millennium, when the evil, the Bible said, and the evil shall be resurrected, for there shall be a resurrection of the evil, the wicked dead, after the millennium, just like there is a resurrection of the righteous dead before the millennium. And then after the millennium, these that are resurrected from the dead shall stand before God the judgment, and then be cast into the lake of fire, and so shall they ever be tormented in the presence of God and the angels. So then, in saying these few little things this morning, I'm just trying to pass on to you this thought. And that is, the body is not inferior. We are now believing unto the redemption of the body. For we have the Spirit, which is the earnestness of our inheritance. Therefore, our spirit is already perfect in the sight of God, and our bodies, by foreknowledge, God is looking at the perfect image. So our bodies are already perfect in the sight of God, because this is not our body that you are visually beholding. This is the image of death that is buried and gone. The body's dead because of sin. So then we are now the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to the resurrected image, and not the image that was delivered for the offenses. If he was delivered for my offenses, then was he an offense unto God because of the sinful image? But if God smote that image, and I am no more an offense unto God, I am not an image of an offense unto God, but I am now an image of righteousness. I am now in the sight of God the image of Christ Jesus. I am not the image that was delivered for the offenses that had offended against God, but I am now that image that was raised for justification, that in the sight of God I can be justified by believing in his righteousness, and that he made me to be brought from the grave. For when Jesus brought up the body from the grave, so came I from the grave. As I have been buried with him in baptism, then so am I resurrected with him in the newness of life. And it's not me living, but it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. All right, so then we see that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, we are the temple. And it doth not yet visually appear what we shall be like. So when we look at each other, know each other after the flesh, then we're not beholding the image of God. But if we look at each other, not to know each other after the flesh, but according to the new birth, as to the Spirit, as to the new child that's been born, and make the fuss over the new child as to Christ Jesus, then when we do this, then we realize that we are beholding the Christ. And we are beholding the members of the body in particular. And this is why Paul said, you received me as the Lord himself, and would have plucked out your eyes for me. So then, here we are. Changed from the old body. We sing the song. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we are now a new creature in God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin is gone. Sickness is gone. Poverty is gone. Oppression is gone. As we believe, we enjoy this. It's there for us. It's in the bank for us, as we say. As we write the checks, we don't use it all up in one day. So then our inheritance is that, having received this inheritance through the predestination of God, we're partakers of all things that pertain unto life and this great, wonderful God image of immortality. So we should be moving on to the change, folks. More and more perfecting this faith. Moving on to the change, because there's no reason to put these bodies in a grave. Because there's nothing inferior as to God's body. All he wants to do is just change it back to the originality. Rather than an illumination as the sunlight upon the image, he wants us to be as it was said of Jesus down at the end of the way when he stood in the midst of the candlesticks. It was as though the sun shined within his strength. The illumination of the morning star. I will give you the bright and the morning star, which the sun is a type of us to the day star. The bright and the morning star, he gives us Christ on the inside, for he is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the one that's within us as the seed of hope of that glory and spreading out as life into our outer genes to make this body immortality and to change it into his image as to a configuration. And it's shining out with that glory of illumination, which means understanding and understanding and understanding and greater understanding and greater light as it breaks forth from within, even under the very ultimatum of God, as to be one with God himself. Knowing all things, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, that is to say the image of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God. So that's where you are today. Let's stand together. Think these things over, because the little things I say to you from time to time, you should remember. The other night I preached to you, it really grieved me, because along about the end of the services, when I was about to relay some things to you and make known some things to you as to what really would have substantiated within your heart those things that I'd been exhorting you about, just about that time you begin to drift in your minds and begin to cause me problems. And in that, the carnal mind is enmity with God. As quick as you left the Spirit of the Lord and the consecrating effort of concentration toward God, then things begin to waver. When it did, I did not get to express fully to you what I wanted to express to you about that wonderful thing of God having destroyed death and having power over death. These people are beginning to believe this. They're beginning to believe this. You know what causes this reaction? If somebody says, my God, I am holy, I am clean, I am righteous, I am the image, and all these devilish accusations that kept telling me I was lost and God didn't love me, this oppressed the life out of me, ain't no more. I won't have it no more. I won't have it no more. So then we should rejoice. When these sermons come forth, he sent his word and healed them. He filled them with the Holy Ghost by the word. The Holy Ghost fell on them as Peter spake. We should be getting the Holy Ghost all through the audience. We should be receiving the Holy Ghost. As that Sunday morning when the Holy Ghost fell, you should have been receiving the Holy Ghost. You should have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And again this morning, I can tell that he's fallen. Even the brother has a stirring him. And I see him every now and then in the church, out yonder, wherever, and somebody receives the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You know what it is? It's that vision that we saw. See, that vision, somebody had another vision. They said that they saw people that was changed and was lifting up as to a translation the same way I saw it. I don't know whether they saw the change. I said the change, but they saw them lifting up. I saw them change. And I saw them lifted up. And people are gradually, one after another. You remember how rare that was when I saw it? A little flock, few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. I think it's wonderful, don't you? Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. The hand of my Lord. Oh, while I was praising God, somebody touched me. While I was praising God, somebody touched me. While I was praising God, somebody touched me. Don't look the hand of my Lord. Well, glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me.
glory, glory. Somebody touch me. No, it won't the hand of my Lord. Well, while I was testifying, somebody touched me. While I was testifying, somebody touched me. While I was testifying, somebody touched me. I know what the...
Sing it with me.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know what the name.
Help my Lord. One more time.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory. Oh, it was the hand.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Sometimes people are laden down with problems. They have many problems, so we sing to them like this.
Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you've lost all ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord.
Sing that with me.
Let your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and you'll have to get along on bigger fares. Just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden, oh my Lord, and leave it there. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. And if you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden.
One more time.
Go leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. And if you trust, doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there.
Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I claim Jesus first.
best of all, and he will answer me when I call. For I know that I am a child, I'm set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing that with me. I claim Jesus first of all. God will answer me when I call. No, no, I'm that child God set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's child. I claim Jesus first in that love for me. Sing it with me now. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're those children God set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. And I claim Jesus first. That's enough. Can you sing that with me and give him a wave offering?
I claim
Jesus first of all. He will answer me when I call. For we know that we're those children. God, don't you feel free? Don't you feel free? Think about it now. No more bondage. No more oppression. No more binding. No more death. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more poverty. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. One more time together. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For I know that I'm his child. He set me free. Can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Think about that one more time. I claim Jesus, just think now, you're altogether free from bondage. You're not a child of bondage. Not a child of bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. You're not a child of bondage to death and poverty and sickness. No, all you got to do is believe. Canst thou believe? Jesus said, be not of a doubtful mind, but only believe. All things are possible to believe. Believe what, Brother Pike? Believe what I preached to you this morning. Believe that you're free. Believe that it's all by grace. Believe that God done it. And because of that, you're ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall. And you're ready to tell all the world about it, not under condemnation. You understand what I'm saying? You're free, you're clean, you're whole. Jesus said you're clean by the words I spoke to you. Faith by hearing of the word. Come on, folks, can you believe that cleanliness? Can you believe that cleanliness? Do you believe you're the image of God this morning, taken from death? And the body of that death is an Adam, all die, all that's left behind? And you're the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, members in particular? Can you believe that this morning? You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Let your faith go. Turn your faith loose. Let your faith go out to God. What is faith in believing what I said to you, the word? I claim Jesus first of all. God's going to answer me. Think about that. He's going to answer you. For I know that I'm the child God set free. For I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. And I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. One more time together. So we claim. claim
Jesus first God.
God's gonna answer us when we call. Oh, we know that we're His children. He set us free at Calvary, loosed the prisoners unto death. God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. And I claim Jesus first and that's enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Do you really believe what I'm preaching? How many of you believe what I'm preaching? I've been preaching to you a long time. Do you believe this will rapture the church? Why shouldn't he rapture the church? Is anything between us and God? Didn't Jesus break it down at Calvary? Is there anything between us and God? Somebody says, but what I've done, what's that got to do with it? The veil is destroyed. It's rent. It's taken out of the way. What's that got to do with it? He put that behind him at Calvary. That's what it's all about. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. It ain't what you've done. It's what he's done. Let's give the Lord a hand. What he's done. Believe in what he's done. Be strong in the power of his might. Hallelujah. The Bible said without works, blessed is the man God justifies without work. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputed faith without works, and God justifies him by his faith. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So we're getting ready for the rapture. Isn't that right? Let's sing this little chorus together. All right. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. Don't forget the services tonight. Let's sing this little chorus together, Frank. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? So it's morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in colors white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready? Remember, if he done the works, you're ready. You're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish by faith. Come on, folks. You know humanity ain't getting no better. He that's come into the light of God has ceased from his own works trying to get good. We're happy because he's good. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? So be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in fallen's white, and I'm ready for the bride. Let's sing it together. Are you ready then for the coffin to come? Are you ready to end the race you've run? Be it morning, noon, or night, you'll be bound in darkness tight, unless you're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. So be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed as Bethlehemite, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Sing it again with me. So we're ready for the bride. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. So be it morning or night, and we're all dressed in spotless white. Oh, get ready. Can you sing it one more time, Brother Taylor? So get ready for the bride. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. So be it morning, night. Better get dressed in spotless white and get ready for the bridegroom to come. One more time. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Give him a wave offering again.
Ready for the bridegroom to come.
For be it
morning, noon or night,
all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Somebody say praise the Lord if you're ready. All right, do you really believe that deep down in your heart? All right, we're going to close the service out today by singing a little bit different, and this is we're going to sing. Give me a K, Frank, called Have Faith in God.
Faith in the Word now.
Have
the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That Word created all things by faith.
Have faith in God for deliverance from darkness.
The Bible said God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, having translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light. You're no more in the mind of intellectual condemnation.
How?
When you were in the mind of intellectual condemnation because of being alienated from the life of God, then the Bible says that sin worked all kind of concupiscence within your flesh. But now, being delivered from the kingdom of darkness, God hath, because of the wonderful works of His Son, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of His light. Therefore we have light, and we are children of light. And the Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and He's destroyed the evil one by the brightness of His coming. All right, let's sing it again.
So we'll have faith in God. So we'll have faith in God. We will have faith in God for salvation. Will have faith in,
one more time together,
have faith in God.
Could I ask Brother David Burton if he will to come up and dismiss us? The Bible speaks of the house of David and this program in Israel and the things that have taken place that you're sponsoring, being a part of, is bringing in the house of David. And as Brother Fontaine said when he called, he said, I want to pay for that program because I feel there's a fountain open in the house of David. You're the true Jew. You're the true house of David. Out of your innermost beings comes that river of living water, or that fountain of life.
We'll have faith in God.
Can you have faith in God?
We'll have, while David comes.